In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You know, you don't have to look that hard or far to find tragic stories of society run amok. It's tempting to withdraw from it and say, look at those evils. Look at those people. To point the finger at perceived evils all around us. But I submit to you that the more Christian approach is to take that which is good and holy and baptize it. Sanctify it. Bring it into the church and God's kingdom. And there's plenty in our world that is good that we can bless and sanctify. We have a number of holidays coming up and one recently passed. Thanksgiving is an easy one of these. It's not a church holiday. But as Metropolitan Philip liked to say, it is the only holy American holiday. This is one that Metropolitan Philip was very strongly behind. A grateful heart is clearly a Christian virtue. After all, Thanksgiving is what we come together to do at every liturgy. We celebrate the Eucharist, which that name Eucharist comes from the Greek Evcharisto, to give thanks. Giving thanks to God, not just for the good, but also for the bad, for his providence, for my salvation, for your salvation. And so let us maintain and even strengthen the holiness of this American holiday without getting pulled down into what it could become, and sometimes does, of stress and arguments and proving to your relatives what idiots they are and how intelligent you are. But rather, take that which is holy and raise that up. You know, we celebrated Halloween not too long ago, some of us. And while it's fun to get dressed up and create creative costumes, this one's a little bit more challenging to find holy aspects of. You know, celebrating spirits and running around with a greedy desire for more candy is not exactly taught in the Bible. However, there's still an opportunity there that I absolutely love. And that is, on Halloween, I get to interact with more of my neighbors than I do all year round. And this is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And so we can bless and sanctify that. You know, Christmas is another holiday that requires sanctification. Though it is at its heart a Christian feast that's preceded by a period of increased fasting, of prayer, both at home and in the church, of self-reflection, of charitable giving, as we prepare to receive Christ, we've also let some other things seep in that have no place with the birth of Christ. The giving of gifts tends to give way to the getting of gifts. Christmas parties overtake the fast and the worship of God in the church. And the peace that Christ brings to all can be marred if we let drama and stress enter in. We have this encouragement from Bishop Thomas on the Nativity Fast. He encourages us. Bishop Thomas is our Antiochian bishop in the northeast Pennsylvania, that area. Please remember to increase your prayer life. Read more scripture and spiritual books, especially the lives of the saints. A little less television, no anger, no gossip, no laziness, And let's try to avoid the pre-Christmas parties. If we prepare in this way, God will bless us, and we will find the feast of the Nativity of the Lord to be far more spiritually rewarding than ever before. God has given us, brothers and sisters, he has given us everything necessary for our salvation. And he's given us the church as an instructor to guide us. So why pick up other tools? Or say, I don't need this one. Or to follow another instructor, or even worse, make myself my own instructor. Talk about the blind leading the blind. In the gospel today, there was a part that we didn't read. It's preceded by a little squabble between brothers over inheritance. Make my brother give me what I think is my fair share. And then Christ tells this parable by way of teaching them. There's a rich man who had a choice. God provides an abundance of crops so that this rich man's barns could not hold it all. And so he decided to tear down all of his old barns and build larger ones. And this rich fool has this conversation with his own soul. He says to himself, "Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." In another place, there's someone in the gospel who has a conversation with themselves, and that's the Pharisee who's praying at the front of the church, prideful and pointing the finger, accusing other people. So he has this conversation that says, he says to himself, "You've got it made. Take it easy. Relax. You don't have to try to be good anymore." Not a thought is given to sharing the blessing from God with others, not even for a moment. And God calls out his foolishness. What good are barns filled with grain to the soul when it departs the body? What good is it? None. So I'd like to highlight two things from this parable: isolation and greed. The conversation this rich man has with his own soul brings to mind that inflated sense of self that many of us face. In our own foolishness, we store up an overabundance of the self. Greed, pride, personal opinion, my desires, self-righteousness. Most of this is born from isolation. Like the man conversing with his own soul, we too spend too much time talking to ourselves in that echo chamber of our own mind. And then it's not too hard to go on the internet and find plenty of people to reinforce that opinion that I've just created. And yet what we really need to fill ourselves with is Christ. His love, his humility, his mercy, his forgiveness. These are the riches that will not fade away. The riches that challenge us to step outside of ourselves, that encourage us to love our brothers and sisters, to see their needs, and together bring our common brokenness to Christ to be made whole. It's no accident that the meaning of church, the Greek word ekklesia, is assembly. The coming together of God's people to worship him, to know him more fully, and to become more like him. We do this in community, together with one another. St. Gregory Palamas, in his commentary on this gospel reading, points to the greed. This is the second point. He points to the greed of this already rich man, that he did not give to those in need when the land brought forth more than he could handle, but rather he just built up more for himself. And the gospel says, so are all that lay up treasures for themselves and are not rich toward God. He asks, what is your hope? What is your hope? This parable from today is tied to that parable that we read 2 weeks ago, the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man desired wealth and received it in this life, but neglected his soul. And Lazarus hoped in God and received him. And so sometimes we act as though we're not going to have to stand before our Lord and account for our life. Did we make efforts to imitate him? Or had we molded ourselves into some other image? Did we love him through our love and sacrifice and service for others? When your soul is required of you, when this life comes to an end, what will God say? Will God say to you, you fool, as in today's gospel? Or will he say to you, well done, good and faithful servant? I'll end with this encouragement of St. Gregory, especially as we continue toward this holiday season. Let us, brethren, be rich in good works. Let us fill the stomachs of the poor with what we have, that we may be deemed worthy to hear the promised voice and blessing and inherit the heavenly kingdom. Amen.